everybody, and welcome to the Fortress Comic News, episode 249.1. I am your host, Chris. So one of these interstitial episodes for you all. We have a special guest for you this week, Trinell Foster, who created a comic called Calm Before the Storm. He's also a part of Black Monolith Films. Does a lot of indie short film stuff, works inside the industry, but on the side decided, hey, let's make some comics. And I love people like that that are in their passion, doing something cool, but really want to also push it storytelling-wise to another level and try it through, whether it's comics or whatever. Obviously, we're a comic show, so I approve of the whole comic book part of it. But he has a cool story to tell. He tells us all about the universe he's building, the book that he's creating. The first issue of the book is available. And as I say at the end, the links are in the show notes down below. So I hope y'all check this out. And Mike is with me as well. Although I will say, Trinell was an amazing guest. He's one of those guests that we love because I'm pretty sure we don't talk for like the first 20 minutes after we do our introductions and he just goes off. So I love guests like that because at the end of the day, that's who we want to hear from these interviews. So now that I've taken up a bunch of your time, let's move over to that. But not before I tell you guys to make sure you give this podcast 5 stars on whatever podcast you use. Like, subscribe, share, and YouTube channel. Check out the YouTube channel. We do some cool stuff over there. And to follow me and Mike on Twitter at Fortress Chris for me and at Fortress Ricker for Mike. Thank you all, and I hope you enjoy this awesome interview. All right, everybody, we got another very special guest for you all this week. I want everybody to welcome to the show Trinell Foster. How we doing, Trinell?
Hey, man.
Good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being here. So, you know, all our first time guests, we usually do a little origin story. It gets kind of redundant for some people to keep telling it, but, you know, we'd like to hear what got you into comics, or have you always been a comic book fan, and like, you know, what got you into making your own book?
A lot of it is, I kind of tell people, like, you know, you ever seen Unbreakable?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, remember when Mr. Glass was telling a story about how his parents went around, all he grew up was comic books?
Yeah, yeah.
Art was? Mm-hmm. That's how I kind of got my start.
Oh, okay. Really,
at a very young age, mm-hmm. one of some of the first books I read were comic books. And superheroes, start out with Marvel. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Batman, Superman, yep. and DC and everything. But my first love began with Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And just reading, seeing the characters, seeing what they're going through. And then looking like, you know, naturally growing up, you're like, man, I want to get powers. I want to do something.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Bite me. Whatever insect bit me, I'm going to turn into something.
Yeah.
You know? But, growing up, I always had that love, and going into a teen, I became a recording artist, and okay. I did music and everything, yep. put out hip hop, R&B, but I still had my comic book collection. I also was a Lego collector, so I was collecting okay. Legos, all the awesome. When they started coming out with all the Marvel and DC sets.
Yeah, yep. those are awesome too.
Started getting all those
yep.
and everything. So everything was just building, and I got into screenplay writing
oh, okay.
and started writing scripts and doing short films and everything like that. Yeah, from there, I was like, man, you know, if I can write a script, you know, I think I can write a comic book.
Right.
But
yeah.
it was just coming up with something that naturally at this point, you know, it's not too many things you can come up with that's just totally original and just totally no one's had his power use anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
But what I could do was look at the aspects of certain characters I liked and not so much take that, but draw inspiration from it,
mm-hmm.
and then use that to build my character.
Okay.
So with Calm Before the Storm, you get introduced to our lead character, who is Stormy Rains.
Okay.
And the whole backstory that goes into this is this whole universe that Stormy lives in is created by this energy known as the Nexus. The Nexus, during the time when there was nothing created and there was just in our universe, they call it dark matter, how we have it in outer space.
Yep.
In the Stormy universe, this dark matter is known as dark magic.
Okay.
And this dark magic was creeping through the universe. The Nexus was that last light that knew it had to fight against this dark magic that was creeping upon everything.
Okay.
And in order and not to succumb to it, the Nexus started creating life. And it created universe, it created the different realities, it created the multiverse, all this stuff it created to combat this darkness. Okay. And it seeded life on certain planets. And within those planets, it set guardians there to protect that planet from the dark magic encroaching there.
That's awesome.
So in our Earth, Stormy Rains and her family has been protecting the Earth for generations. Mm. And we come in to Stormy. I kind of, with me being a film writer, I always look at things, even though it's a comic book, I look at it cinematically.
Okay.
And you're like, okay, if I was to see this on screen, how would I want it to play out? Mm-hmm. And me, I didn't want to go with a straight out, okay, here she is at a young age, you're going to see her grow. But I drop you right into the middle of what's going on. So you're kind of in the same frame of mind she is. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then as she's figuring out things, you're figuring out things. But the story also hops through a few flashbacks. So you get kind of caught up with where she came from.
Okay.
And everything.
Yeah.
So her world is basically, I would say, like a mirror image of our world, in a sense where how you have people now that say, oh, I took a picture of a UFO, or I took a picture of Bigfoot, and it's always blurry or far away or weird.
Yeah, yeah.
People will see these creatures or these things and they'll swear they've seen it, but no one believes. Like, yeah, right. That's
yeah, real. Yeah.
And because Stormy is able to use magic to kind of almost Men in Black you, in a sense, to where you think you've seen something, but you're not really sure, no one really believes you.
Yep.
And it's because the Nexus, like I said, with all the multiverse and everything going on, this wavelength of universes are going on. And so Stormy's universe is going like this, and there's another universe on top, and sometimes they touch.
Okay.
And when these universes touch, that allows beings or creatures or things to come through these, what we call Nexus tears.
Okay.
And when they come into her realm, she has to do something to defend it. And what you're seeing going on in the first book is a lot of these tears, these incidents are starting to take place. Mm. And she's trying to figure out, because she's separated from her family, so she's trying to figure out what happened to her family, and as well as why are these events starting to happen.
Okay. Huh.
And so I kind of wanted to build a story within a story. So you're seeing her personal side as she's trying to look for a family and find a home, because she was stuck in Las Vegas. She was living on the streets for a little while, and she was taken in by an individual named Giordani, who runs a hotel and casino in Vegas called the Viridian. The Viridian and Giordani are actually connected to the Nexus. And these Viridians are all around the United States. I liken them to the Continental and John Wick.
I was going to say, I like that universe building of like, there's like a safe spot for these.
Yeah.
Yeah, these people.
And these individuals who are demon hunters, who are individuals, maybe they're outcasts from whatever dimension they've got permission to cross through. Because some of these individuals cross through our world with an instrument known as a glamour.
Okay.
And It can be a necklace, an anklet, a ring, something that's magically imbued that allows them to cross over into our realm and look human.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So there's, for years, these things have been coming through when they look human, and now they're starting to show themselves, and, you know, Stormy is starting to see, and these events are starting to take place, and all these different things are going on. So not only is Stormy trapped in a situation where, okay, I'm trying to find myself, find out who I am, and use my powers that I know I have for a good thing, but she's also knowing there's like a lot of stuff going on, and how am I going to be able to take care of these things like by myself? As she feels on her own right now.
Okay.
And so, you know, you're seeing in the first book, you know, you're really seeing her just try to find herself and find her own way and try to figure out what's going on with her family. Where are they? And how she's able to reunite with them, as well as figure out who are these, because there's also these Society of Sorcery, which is the evil entity in a sense that is controlling the dark magic. And these individuals are responsible for the disappearance of her family, but also they are after her. And so you're seeing, you know, this cat and mouse game going on where she's searching for them as they're searching for her. And she's also with Giordani, and he's trying to let her know, like, hey, you know, I know your family's missing right now, but you've been with me for a while, and I'm like family to you. You can, you know, you don't have to have your guard up so much with me. So he's trying to get her to break down her defensiveness, and she's trying to figure out what's going on with her life.
Okay. So, and does she know, like, you said that these beings from the Nexus are given powers. Does she know her power set, or is she still figuring that out?
She knows her power set, because in the backstory that, you know, I'm giving you guys a little extra.
Yeah.
In the backstory that's going to come out in the next issue, you see, because in the first issue we gave you little glimpses of it, but in the next issue you're going to see how when her and her brother's name is Reality.
Okay.
So her and Reality as kids, naturally, you have these kids who are, I've dubbed them homo mages. They're half human, half magic.
Okay.
And so, you know, naturally you have the adults who can control it and everything. Their mother, Tempest, and their father, Colder, you have them who can control their magic. They've been doing it for a while. But, you know, you have kids, 5, 6 year olds. They don't always listen. You tell them no, they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So these kids have these powers. So what do you think they're going to do?
Okay. You know? Yeah.
And what the kids don't know is, and what the parents have been trying to instill in them as kids, naturally, like a baby rattlesnake, if it bites you, it puts all this venom in you.
Yeah.
When they're using their powers, they're just using everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when they do that, it can attract the attention of society, because they can sense the magic.
Okay.
So kids being kids, they end up using their powers playing, and it gets to society tracking their location. And that leads on a pursuit and a battle between their family and the society, which causes a separation of the family.
Interesting.
And you might wonder, okay, well, how did they get separated so far?
Right.
There's another entity known as the Navigator. And this is kind of like, he lives in this realm called the Realm in Between, similar to like the quantum realm. And he resides in this realm, and he has these tendrils, and individuals connected to the Nexus, they can approach him, and using these tendrils, he can encapsulate you like in a bubble and send you to places you want to go.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So during this attack, the mother desperately was trying to get her kids to safety, and just told the navigator to get them out of here. So the Navigator sent the kids away to two different locations. Reality ended up landing in South Dakota, and Stormy ended up landing in Las Vegas.
Okay.
The mom hops into the realm in between to escape the fight, and the father ends up getting captured.
Okay.
So the realm in between kind of has similar time, I guess. I want to say how time passes is mm-hmm. a little bit different in there. So 5 years in the realm, or 5 minutes in the realm in between, is 5 years in the outside world.
Okay. Wow.
So the mom has been within this realm in between, and she, for her, it's only been 5 minutes, but for Stormy and her brother, it's been 5 years. And so wow. Stormy has, she landed in Vegas when she was about 16, and for 5 years she's been there on her own, so without a family, without any contact, without anything. So that's why when you see her in the first book, she's her personality is a mixture of Zatanna,
mm-hmm.
John Constantine, and Doctor Strange.
Okay, nice. The best three magic users.
Yeah. I took a little bit of, you know, I wanted a little bit of Constantine's cynicism, Zatanna's beauty,
mm-hmm.
but also Doctor Strange, his in the first stages, his reluctance to help, even though he had the powers, he wasn't like, I don't know if I really want to.
Yeah.
Do this. I'm just, I was trying to do it myself, type thing.
Right.
And then she realizes, okay, I can use these powers for good. I can do more than just stop these people and get my family back. You know.
Awesome.
And so you see her discovering that. Well, okay, yes, I know I have these powers. And like I said, as we go into to book two, you're going to see her realize, okay, I know what's within me. I know this power I have. What can I do more to, I guess, broaden her scope of helping people and trying to become a hero? Because she doesn't consider herself a hero. You know, she, you know, right now I wouldn't even call her a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Right now
mm-hmm.
she's more of, you know, like what do they have in or was it Deadpool or two, where he's like the X-Men in training?
Yes.
More like, you know, the superhero in training. She has the jersey on right now.
Okay.
You know, or the red jersey until you know, he's able to get out on the field and everything and really do it. So, and I have it building up to where she has a team that's called the Trinity Faction. And, it's comprised of various individuals that she starts to realize that when these Nexus tears happen, individuals around it, there's radiation that emanates from it. They can get affected from it.
Okay.
And some of these individuals start developing powers inadvertently from it. And some of these individuals naturally use their powers for evil. And some of these people realize, hey, I can try to help people with my powers as well. And she finds other individuals who are actually kind of drawn to Giordani and the Viridian, because Giordani is kind of an individual that puts himself out there as a person who is interested in oddities. You know, he can help. He likes to work with people who have weird things going on with them and stuff like that and everything. And that's just because he is, even though he looks human on the outside, he is basically in a human embodiment of the Nexus itself.
Okay.
And every other owner of the Viridian Hotel is also an embodiment of the Nexus. That's why you'll see that Giordani, he can never leave the city.
Okay.
Because he's connected to that.
He has to stay.
Yeah, he has to stay there to protect, because every Viridian hotel able to be sealed. They build the hotels there so all that magic energy there can focus and keep the big giant things from getting out.
Okay.
And so these little tears allow smaller things, you know, to get in. You'll get other beings from other dimensions, but giant behemoth beast kaiju type things.
That's awesome. Yeah,
those lie beneath the hotels.
Oh wow,
okay. Those are always trying to get out. So you need individuals like Dradani and stuff like that to stay there to concentrate that magical energy to keep those things locked away. But see, Stormy doesn't know anything about that.
Yeah, okay.
And he's going to find out about that later on, as you'll see in the first book. Dradani actually gives her a notebook and a flash drive, and he's like, "Hey, this is all my cool shit on here, and this is some other stuff that you know you don't know about me."
Right.
And you see her looking at the laptop and everything, and looking at it, but you don't see what's on it.
Right.
And so that's stuff we're going to get into later on.
It's like the Spark Notes version of all the magical. that's awesome. So, go ahead, Chris.
I just got to ask. You obviously have thought this world through a ton, and that's great. How many issues have you put out so far?
Right now, we have the first issue out. The second one we're working on currently. And the only reason why I've been kind of lagging on it, because I do films as well. So I try to hop in between each one.
Yeah.
Right now we have a stop motion animation project involving Marvel characters, Avengers, X-Men, everything like that. We're about to have debuting on Amazon on 30th.
Oh, okay. So, awesome.
You know, and working with stop motion animation can be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, my schedule has kind of been back and forth, but the second book is underway. We're getting everything as far as the artwork and preliminary mock-ups of characters and stuff like that ready. But we should have it, I would look to March for the next issue to be out and up and ready to go, just because of my hectic schedule. Then hopefully after that, we'll be able to have it more out on a monthly basis. And you won't have to wait that bi-monthly wait to get the next issue.
So are you just releasing them on your own, or are you doing Kickstarter, Indiegogo campaigns?
I released them on my own. That way I can cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
And I don't really like it's good to, for people who do the Kickstarters and Indiegogo and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's great. You know, I support them and stuff like that as well. But if someone's going to really buy my product, I want them to buy it just based on the fact that they really want to support it and the artwork looks good and they feel like the storyline is good, versus then seeing it on there, and no offense to anyone that does it, but seeing it on there and want to do it because they're getting something else behind it. I don't want them to be like, I'm going to just donate this because they're going to give me a free book, or they're going to give me this, or they're going to give me that. So that's why I want to do it. I want them to do it because, hey, I really think it looks cool. I really like the story. I really like, you know, things I've heard or seen about it. Mm-hmm. And I want to support it that way. And so that's why I really haven't went that route. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a cheap thing to get the book created, but doing it myself and getting it done, it feels good, you know, knowing, hey, I was able to do it all myself and get it done. And now I just know what I have to do and what I need to create the next one. And also, I really don't like waiting for people to, are they going to donate or not going to donate?
Right,
Other people to make my book, like, really?
Yeah, it's stressful. You
know, yeah. I can deal with all that. So I just really like to just, I'll bust my ass and get the money I need and create it. And, you know, my artist, he really worked with me, Kurt Wilson, he really worked with me and did a good job with creating the book. And it's good to have an artist who's a one-stop shop. You know, most people, they go to one guy for the lines, one guy for the ink, one guy for the colors. But Kurt, he came through, he could do everything in-house. So I could just pay one flat rate and get everything done versus having to deal with hopping around to different people's completion times and everything else. So it was just easier going that route and doing it myself.
Okay. That's an interesting approach. And I mean, you said the first issue is done now. So you've been selling the first issue. How can people get a hold of it?
If you have Amazon Kindle, you can get it through there. Actually, it's even on there, I believe, if they haven't ticked it off there. Because I had on a special promotion where people could actually get a free read-through of it.
Oh, okay.
Cool. To the side. I don't know if that's still available right now.
Yep.
But it is on there on Amazon Kindle. Or if you want to contact me through my email, Black Monolith Films, or Black Monolith Comics at Gmail, either or. You can contact me through there or Facebook, Trenell Foster, TrenellFoster. You can contact me there and let me know, hey, you know, I want to get a physical copy.
Okay.
And I can send you one, you know, you just had to pay the shipping and handling and included with the price.
Awesome.
Do you have like a website that people can go to as well, or?
I don't have a website right now. Everyone pretty much, because of the page we have on Facebook, the Calm Before the Storm page and everything, and the Black Monolith comic page, a lot of people have been contacting me through there. For the book, either posting on a page, and then, you know, I'll give them the information to contact me, or they send me a DM, and I get their information and, you know, send it to them directly. But, you know, I just sent out the last batch of books, what was maybe like a week and a half ago, and the people have already received their books. I've sent books all the way to the UK.
Awesome. That's awesome.
So, you know, they're doing pretty good. I printed out a set of 30, and I have 3 physical copies left. So I'm already in the process of getting the reprints going, because I didn't want to print too many, and I wasn't sure.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was happy to see they were moving pretty quickly and everything like that. A lot of people were supporting it, especially wanting the physical copy. I tell people, in a quote from Stan Lee,
yeah.
You know, yes, the digital comics are like breasts. They're nice to look at, but they're better when they're in your hand. You want a physical copy. People like to have a physical copy so they can feel it. They can put it in their collection and stuff that. I'll get it to you. Let me know. For the people who like, hey, I'm on the go and I want to be able to read it, you know, anywhere and not have it damaged, the digital copy is available.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have both. So, I mean, and it sounds like you have a plan for more than just 2 issues. You've built this whole universe here. I mean, when you can get the issues out, but you seem to have a plan to keep this ongoing, right? You're not going to stop the
store. Yes, I plan to keep it ongoing. Actually, just to double down on the book, I'm going to be doing a short film that will be an adaptation from the book as well.
Oh, cool.
So people will be able to see a live action version.
Awesome.
And be able to go back and say, hey, you know, if I didn't pick up the book, now I want to go check it out. If I'm not a comic book reader, but I like comic book films, there you go right there. You know, so that'll also help me be able to generate extra funds and stuff I need for other books. But as far as this world being created, yes. And I have a few other writers I'm bringing in that have good ideas for things. I have other creators who are wanting to cross over universes, since the multiverse is known in my world. That kind of thing can take place. I actually have a comic book, a character in that's going to be part of the Trinity faction that is... He actually came from another comic book universe.
Okay.
Into this universe.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's how far these realities or these multiverses go, where a character can actually break through and come from another universe into this universe. And then he gets trapped in this universe, and he's trying to figure out how to get back. And at the same time, he helps the heroes with some things as well.
Okay.
So, It's a lot going on. I also plan on going back and showing you some of the younger generations of the Raines families. So I know I have like a Western idea that I want to do, where it takes place in maybe like the 1800s, and everything like that, and kind of showing the Raines family during that time between the old style and the modernization of things, and how they're adjusting to that and also dealing with these things that are going on in the Wild West, and even taking place in some of the same places like Las Vegas in the Western times, and Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, stuff like that.
Awesome.
So
that's really interesting stuff.
Yeah. It's a lot of things going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't wait to read it too. Now that I know I can get it digitally, I'll probably download it tonight, but yeah, thanks. I mean, it sounds really cool. You're very passionate when you talk about it. So I'm hoping our listeners and our viewers can see that too and really check your book out. So yeah. I'm excited for it. Yeah. And you said the Facebook page is where everybody can reach you?
Yes, you can reach me on my personal Facebook page, Tremendo Foster, or you can go to Black Monolith Comics Ultraverse. And that's the comic book page where we release everything, comic book information and everything there. You can ask me, hey, I want to get the book. Can you send me the book? How can I get the book? I'll give you any kind of information you need. Either way, I don't care. Just as long as you contact me and, you know, however you can, and I can get it to you.
Awesome.
Awesome, man. So everybody out there, I will have links to both the Facebook page and the Amazon link as well, so you can try to check out the book and get a hold of Trinell. Man, thanks so much for being on. I love the passion. I love the universe. It sounds really cool, and hopefully we can do this again sometime after a few more issues come out.
Yeah, be awesome.
Yeah, yes, definitely. I love being a part of it. Thank you guys. I appreciate everything.
Yeah, thank you.